Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for the sermon today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Jesus said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them." Today, friends, I'm reminded of the stock market crash of 2001. You'll remember that. And we look back now at the cause of it, but when it happened, we didn't know what was going on. It seems that people were buying stocks and investing in companies. Anything with a .com on the end seemed good. You remember the story of Enron and other companies like that, how the executives kind of hid their debt in different arrangements through accounting tricks, and investors thought the company was turning great profits. But really, some of these companies were losing money, even though their financial statements said otherwise. But it got to the point about 2001, 2002, where they couldn't hide it any longer, and the truth started coming out. Well, in the end, the executives walked off with millions in stock options that they exercised. But the investors, and especially the employees, lost about everything. What was the cause of all this? Well, I think it was greed. Greed both on the executives for getting theirs first before everything collapsed, but also sometimes on the investors who thought that they could just reap easy profits and weren't careful where they put their money. All of this reminds me of Jesus' words, "Watch out for false prophets." Now, that's prophet with a P-H and not an F, but it is false in very similar ways. You see, Jesus in our text shows that he certainly knew way ahead of time that leaders would come in his church who, like those corrupt executives, didn't tell the whole truth about the company's wealth. Well, these leaders in the church would not tell the whole truth about the way to heaven or distort it. And instead of leading people to depend on Christ for their salvation, they would lead them away from that and what Jesus was going to the cross to accomplish for them. So, what's the difference then between a true prophet and a false prophet? Well, sometimes it can be very, very subtle. Here's an example. Do you remember the moment when you first became a Christian? I mean, the moment when you placed yourself into the hands of God, when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ and accepted him as your Savior. Now, I hope that the teaching of our church over the years has kind of caused a little warning bell to go off when I said those words, or maybe a red flag went up somewhere saying to yourself, hey, this doesn't sound like what they usually preach at our church. And maybe most of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Of course, some of you might be saying to yourself, well, it's all still about Jesus anyway, no matter how you get there. There's really no significant difference of whether I accept Jesus into my life or whether, as the way we Lutherans usually explain it from the scriptures, that God chooses me and reveals himself to me and through holy baptism, as we witness here today, comes to me and puts that faith in me. The end result's all the same. We go to heaven. We receive forgiveness of sins. They just say it a little different than we Lutherans do. Well, I warn you, this is just one example of what I'm talking about today, how subtle Satan influences with just a couple of words. And here, the words, accept Jesus. As if our act of personal acceptance of Jesus causes or contributes to our salvation in some way, no matter how small. And that without that good work or those words or those thoughts flowing out of us, our salvation is incomplete. Well, it looks okay to us sometimes, but it's in the hour of our distress, when we're tempted, when we recognize that we have fallen as a Christian, that we've fallen into some certain sin. That's when Satan wanders up to us, sneaks up, and he whispers in our ear, "Did you really accept Jesus into your heart? Were you really sincere when you made that commitment to Christ?" And he sows those seeds of doubt, and we're overcome. Grace, that is God's love for sinners, flies out the window because all we can think about is our act of obedience to God. Did we accept or not? And if we did, why are we having this trouble now? Why did we fall so far? Why do we feel so guilty? If we accepted Christ. I hope you can begin to see by these words how dangerous the work of the false prophets are. Because they look so honest. They're so nice. They're so warm and affirming. And they're so good with words. They make us feel so accepted and purposeful. Jesus says that they look like sheep, but inside they are like ferocious wolves. And he says you'll know them by the fruit that grows on them. Here's another example of what I mean. There's a church down in Texas that gets a lot of attention these days. It has 30,000 members going to it on TV each Sunday. And it has such appealing teaching. I've watched the show once when I had the opportunity. And now and then you hear the message. Also in the books the pastor writes, which are bestsellers. He says things like this: God wants you to be successful. And then he goes on to explain that God wants you to be rich. Now, who would disagree with that? I'd like to be rich, wouldn't you? Go for it. But what does the Word of God say? Did God say he wants every one of us to be wealthy financially? To have all the things we dream for in this world, those material things? Well, true, we have the riches of heaven in Jesus. But why do we need more? No, the true prophet of God says this: we brought nothing into the world, and we could take nothing out of the world. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. The pastor of that church was a true prophet. He was the apostle St. Paul. Oh yes, we are rich. God makes every Christian rich, not in money and material things and land and houses, cars and jewelry. The riches we have are the real enduring riches, the forgiveness of sins, the peace that passes all our understanding, and the joy of heaven. But beware, because such false prophets are everywhere. Sometimes the error is so small that you can hardly catch it. But beware, says Jesus. Small errors have a way of quickly growing into big, terrible monsters that destroy Christian faith. So how exactly do you know a false prophet from a true prophet? There is only one way, and that is to study the Word of God very carefully. If it doesn't point to Christ in every way, that is what the preacher is saying, or the teacher, if it points to trusting in your own righteousness, in your own good works, in your own acceptance, or anything that you do, beware. Study the Word of God. It's really sad that most people don't read the Bible anymore, don't study it personally. Most Christians. Too busy. You know, we see that if we didn't get it as kids sometimes, we feel like it's too late for us, or it's hard to get that understanding because, you know, people that had it when they were children and grew up with a good Christian education seem so much to know so much, and we don't know where to start. Therefore, I tell you that I think such a blessing to be a part of your congregation, our congregation, and that my daughter, my only daughter, can go to Christian school like we have here at St. John. I'm blessed to know that she's learning God's word each day. And yes, our school takes a lot of work, takes a lot of resources. There's a lot of things that we could be doing that we're not doing because we have a school. But I can say that St. John's School is teaching the truth of God's word day in and day out in those classrooms. And we are truly rooted in the word of Christ. That's what that Old Testament reading is about today. About putting the word of God and inscribing it on your children and teaching it to them. But don't get the wrong idea. It's not that the school is enough. In fact, that passage says that you can't just depend on a parochial school or a Sunday school to teach the faith to your children. You've got to be the one, as a parent, to inscribe it on them. Most chances are it won't stay there. You're the one to inscribe it and teach it to them on their and put it on their hearts by simply daily talking about it, as the Bible says, when you get up and when you sit down, when you lie down and when you wake up in the morning, when you walk along the road, and praying for it to come to you. But my friends, do not be sidetracked by the smooth-talking, slick presentations of the so-called modern church that portrays Christian life as a kind of a Disney World experience, where everything is wonderful all the time. And if it's not, well, it's your fault because you haven't committed yourself to Jesus quite enough. That's a fake. We are not in the kingdom of heaven yet. And the devil will not be missing any attempt to throw hardship and problems at you to try to get you to let go of that word of God, to dislodge that truth that you have, your faith in Christ. Head the devil off at the pass by holding fast to Christ and to every word of the Bible. But most of all, hold on to that truth that only Jesus can fight the devil for you and your sins. You see, you have no power in this to do it on your own, to fight the devil, to fight sin. Only Jesus can and will lift you up and bless you with the confidence you need, because only he went to the cross to fight that battle. Only he could do it, and only he did do it. False prophets turn us inward to our feelings about ourselves, to the condition of our souls, to our level of faith, and to the quality of our discipleship. But true prophets always point right to the cross of Christ, where he laid down his life to ransom us and to give us that purpose. Jesus says, "The one who hears his word and puts it into practice has built his house securely. It is a firm foundation. That house will not fall, no matter what comes its way." But those who build their house not on that word of God, not on those firm promises, but on what people say, or their own experiences, or anything else, they're in trouble, because that house will crash when the storms of life press upon it. And yes, I suppose the stock market will crash again, friends. It's only a matter of time. So will the lives of those who follow the false prophets. No matter how successful it looks today, any kind of circumventing the word of God or leaving anything out in God's word will cause disaster. Their salvation will be stripped away because they didn't hold on to that firm word of God. But I pray that you, maybe just otherwise, I pray that you will always be firmly rooted in the word of Christ, that you may endure every hardship, knowing that your faith is solidly built on the unchanging truth that is Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again. God keep you in these words. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts through Christ Jesus. Amen.